Let's remain standing tonight for the reading of God's wonderful Word. It is wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
I know it's wonderful because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And Isaiah said His name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. He is wonderful. He's altogether lovely.
Amen.
And He is worthy of our adoration, our worship, and our praise. I want to bless His holy name tonight for what He's done in my life and for lifting me out of sin and degradation when I was lost and on my way to hell.
Amen.
And made a new creature out of me in Christ. Well, we're still in the book of Psalms, so if you'll turn to Psalm 98, that seems to be where God is leading us in these days. And primarily, I've been there for a while now without a break, and so we're right back in there tonight in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 98, I want to read all 9 verses of it and then try to bring the message God has laid on my heart tonight, okay? It begins in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Amen.
For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen.
Amen.
He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Amen.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity." Now may the Lord bless the reading of that psalm.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and hearts together and pray and ask God's help. Our Father, as we pray tonight, we're so thankful once again for the cross upon which our Savior died and for the blood that You shed there for the remission of our sins. We're so thankful tonight that we have a place to assemble, a place to come together where we can preach the Word and fellowship with one another, and Lord, where we can expect the divine presence of God to be made manifest. And so we look for Thee tonight to reveal Thyself to every heart, every individual in this building tonight. May we leave here tonight being closer to Thee and rejoicing in what Christ has done for us. Please open our blinded eyes to the truth of what God hath accomplished in each of our lives. That day we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I pray that You'll grant peace in every heart, to give power to the preacher, to give liberty in this place tonight, Lord, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. Have Your divine will and way, I pray, in every heart. We ask You to revive Your people tonight and regenerate the lost for the glory and honor of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. This is another one of the Psalms in the series that we've been preaching on, really on the reign of the Lord in His second advent and consequently His reign upon the earth. And I've titled this Psalm tonight, "The Hymn of Exaltation." That is the hymn of triumph. The hymn of glorious victory.
Yes.
And it is a glorious victory that you and I have tonight in the Lord Jesus. I want to thank Him tonight that we can walk in victory. We don't have to be defeated in our Christian life. We can have victory. As I've so often said, the victory begins at the cross. We already have that victory. We're not working toward it. We already have it.
Amen.
And because He has given us such a glorious victory, and has caused us to triumph over all of our enemies. He expects us to magnify His name. I want to say that praise is comely to the saints of God. And we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And that's not a so-so thing. That is a command from the Word of God, that we are to worship Him. I want to say a couple of things about the psalm, and I'll get right into the thought. I've got a long way to go, if the Lord will help. But if you've been with me through the psalms in the last few weeks, you'll know that this psalm is just a little more, really, than an echo of Psalm number 96. It's a great deal of the psalm is taken after Psalm number 96. Its subject is the last great revelation and the final victory of God. That is, when His salvation and His righteousness and the revelation that He has promised to the house of Israel shall be made manifest both to His own people and to all the nations of the earth. And He's coming today to reveal Himself. Remember, I said Sunday that every eye will see Him. Even those that pierced Him will look upon the Son of God. And at that time, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And He is coming again. And because He's coming again, you and I ought to rejoice in that. We ought to exalt His wonderful, holy name for what He has done in each of our lives. Now, like I said, the beginning and the end of the psalm is both taken from Psalm number 96. But the rest of the psalm is chiefly taken from the latter portion of the book of Isaiah. We find some of Isaiah's better writings in this book. And there's three stanzas to it. That is, it's divided into three portions. And there's three stanzas in this little psalm. And the first one is the object of our praise that is given to the Lord because we have been redeemed. I'm glad tonight that we've been redeemed. A lot of people don't understand what redemption is. But to be redeemed means to be purchased back. The Lord has bought us back out of the slave market of sin. We were slaves to sin, and I think Ephesians 2 tells that in a real concise way. You can't overlook it. We were slaves to sin and Satan and the world, but thanks be unto God, when He bought us back out of the slave market of sin, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and were no longer slaves to sin. Thank God, sin shall not have dominion over us. I'm glad if the Son will make us free. The Bible said we're free indeed. That is a wonderful thing to know, that sin hath no power over us. That we've been redeemed, that the sin hath no dominion over us, that we're freed by the precious blood of the Son of God. And we're not just free, we're indeed free. We're free indeed, hallelujah. If the Son hath made us free. And so the first stanza deals with the fact that we've been redeemed. We're people that have been redeemed by the wonderful Word of God. And then the second stanza shows that this these praises is to be who they're be rendered to. All the means which we have at our disposal ought to be used or employed in this thing of serving or worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third stanza deals with the praise that is to be given, and that or who is to be given by, and that is by the whole earth. If you noticed in those last verses, it talked about let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that are therein, let the floods clap their hands. Boy, that's something to say, and let the floods clap their hands. Why? Because of the marvelous, wonderful works of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the three stanzas of the psalm itself. Now, I want to get right into the message. I only have 3 points, but I got a whole lot of subpoints. And I want to mention, first of all, the excellency of our exaltation. That is how excellent is our exaltation. We are to exalt the Lord, number one, because He hath done marvelous things. Notice verse number one. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? For He hath done marvelous things. Who of us in here tonight that are saved could stand and say that God hath not done a marvelous thing in our life? When you look back over the course of your life, I sat this morning getting this psalm ready, and I tried to meditate once again over my life where I was when God found me, how miserable I was in sin, how lost I was without God. Amen. That's right. And living a life that was absolutely worth nothing. But I'm going to tell you, God gave me something worth living for. He gave me a brand new life. Old things passed away and all things were made new. And God gave me a life that is worth living. And the reason is because that life I'm living now, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what makes it worth living. God loved us and gave Himself for us. That makes this life worth living. May I say, too, that because the grave is not the end, death is not the end for you and I that are saved. That makes life worth living. Hey, somebody said, are you looking to the end of life? That's an impossibility. You can't be looking at the end of life. Somebody said, why not, preacher? Because the Bible said I'm going to live forever and ever. And forever and ever doesn't have a friend, so I can't look to the end of my life. Somebody said, what about when your body dies? Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hey, I'm not looking to the end of my life because my life, the day I was saved by the grace of God, He gave me eternal and everlasting life. I'm telling you, there is no end to it. He did a marvelous thing. I'll guarantee you when He saved us, He did a marvelous thing. Think of the sin. This is not even my notes, but think of the sin God brought you out of. Some of us in here tonight were in sin over our eyeballs. We were in sin so deep we thought we'd never get out. But I'll tell you, there came a day in each of our lives when an omnipotent hand of mercy seemed to come out of nowhere down into the depths of our sin and filth and mire. And by the grace of God, He lifted us out of that horrible sin. Oh, yeah. Amen. I wouldn't begin to name the sins of Brother Hall in the past. God's put them in the past, and I want them to stay in the past. Now, I want to say this, He'll never drag one out of the closet on you. If it's ever brought out of the closet, it's because the devil brings it out of the closet. Christ will never drag out an old sin and criticize or condemn you for a sin in the past. Why? It's under the blood, ladies and gentlemen. It's gone, thank God. It's gone, hallelujah. He'll never drag even those sins that we confess since we've been saved. He'll never drag one of them out of the closet on you. They're gone. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the excellency of our exaltation should be because He hath done marvelous things. Now notice, the life and work of our Lord upon the earth were marked by wonderful features. The life and the work that He did while He was on the earth was marked by the most wonderful things in all of this world. That's right. His life was marvelous. His life was marvelous in beauty, in the beauty of holiness. I want to say to you tonight, Jesus was holy. That Bible said, be ye holy. For I am holy, saith the Lord. You know what I marvel at tonight? That the devils know more about the holiness of God than most people in the world today. Can I give you a little illustration? When the Lord Jesus stepped off on the shores of Gadara, and that maniac came out to meet Him, and you know, the Lord asked His name, and He said, my name's Legion. For he said, I've got a legion of devils in me. And here's what those devils cried out unto the Lord. Said, but when he saw Jesus afar off. Now this is a man that is possessed with devils. And he's still possessed with devils at this point. But he saw Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshiped him. Now, can you get a hold of that? I'm talking about a man that has got got a legion of devils in him, sees Jesus afar off, and runs and falls down at his feet and begins to worship him. Somebody said, why'd they do that, Brother Hall? Well, I'm glad you asked. When he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He knew who Jesus was. He knew how holy Jesus was. I wonder if, hey, much less the people of the world, I wonder if Baptists tonight realize how holy Jesus was. Amen. I'm talking about from conception, friend, right on down the line. He wasn't conceived by a Roman soldier. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary and conceived in her womb the darling Son of God. Amen. As the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. And so even the devils realized how holy he is. And they cried out and said to him, I adjure thee by God that thou torment us not. Right. They knew how holy the Lord Jesus was. If people today knew how holy he was, they wouldn't take his name in vain. Right. I saw a bumper sticker once. I'm not going to tell you what it says because I don't like it at all. But it said, God's last word is not, and you don't finish the rest of it. I'm going to take people blaspheming that wonderful name all over the world. And he's holy. He is without spot and without blemish and without flaw in every position of his life. That's right. He is the Holy One of God. In one of the epistles, those demons said, I know who thou art. Thou Holy One of God. Amen. Oh yes, He's holy. He is holy. And because He is holy, you and I ought to exalt His wonderful name. Amen. Why? Amen. Because He's made us holy. Amen. The Bible said, be ye holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Do you realize what it means to be holy? It means to be consecrated unto God. We have been set apart unto God, ladies and gentlemen. We're not only set apart from the world, but we're set apart unto God. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to get off the platform now. I'm going to tell you there's a lot of preachers that like to preach on being separated from the world, but they preach very little on being sanctified unto the Lord. And you can be separated all you want, but if you've never been sanctified, you have absolutely nothing in the eyes of God. Amen. Separation from the world also, or holiness, not only separates us from the world, it sanctifies us unto the Lord. That's right. It makes us holy, and He consecrates us for His work, just like He did Aaron and the priest around that altar in that holy place. They were sanctified to do holy work. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a holy place. Amen. The work that is done in here ought not to be touched with anything but holy hands. Amen. I'm talking about people that have been sanctified, amen, made holy by the grace of God. Somebody say amen right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he's not only marvelous in that beauty of holiness, but his life is marvelous in the power that he possesses. The power that he possesses. Now, when those demons that were devils that were in that maniac, when they had finished that statement, he said, that thou torment us not. They went right on and said, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, And the unclean spirits went out of the and entered into the swine. You notice what they said? Send us. Send us. Don't cast us out in the deep. Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. They didn't have the authority to go into them swine on their own. They didn't have the power to go into them swine on their own. They didn't have the power to come out of that man on their own will. I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody with a greater power than them had power over them, and that power was the devil himself. Oh, but I'm telling you, hey, the devil might be powerful, but our God, our Lord Jesus, is all powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And we ought to exalt His blessed and holy name and sing a song of praise unto Him, because He's got power over the devils. Amen. Hallelujah. Them devils realize He's got more. They realize knew more about His power than most madness know today. Amen. I don't have, Benny Hinn or whatever his name is. Man, all this devil casting out crowd. I'm just going to be honest with you. They probably ain't got enough power to cast a tennis ball 10 feet. Much less cast a devil out of somebody. I didn't know anybody around that had cast them devils out of that man. It said men had tried to bind him and couldn't even do it. Couldn't bind him. Chains couldn't hold him. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus came by and the power that He had and gave command to those demon spirits, devil spirits to come out of Him, they had no choice but to come out of Him, for one greater than they had showed up on the scene. But the people come out of that city and found that guy sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Can you imagine that? After he got saved, he put on some clothes? Yeah. What about that? And hey, he looked so much different, it scared the city half to death. They said, you depart from us. We can't handle all this. I'm going to tell you that. And we talk about revival in our day. I'm telling you, if the power of God set in on revival in our day, like it has in times gone past, I don't believe people would be acting the way they say they do or say they would. I don't believe most preachers would act like they say they'd act. I'll guarantee you get in the presence of the Holy One of God, it'll make a difference in your life, ladies and gentlemen. You'll not be apt to be up cutting monkey shines. You may in solitude and quietness fall prostrate at His feet. Amen. Like a dead man. But I doubt very seriously you'd be cutting too many monkey shines. I've read through that Bible a few times. Men like Daniel, greater men of God than I or any that I know in the world today. And he was touched from behind by that angel of the Lord. Not just a messenger of God. And I believe it was Christ myself. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And he said he just got so weak he just passed out. I'm going to tell you something. For no other reason than the beauty of his holiness and the greatness of his power, we are to sing a glorious song unto him. Sing! Sing praises unto him. Sing a loud noise unto him. Make a loud noise unto him. Somebody said, I don't like loud noise. He said, make a loud noise unto him. I'll get to that in just a minute, by the way. Hallelujah. Amen. I better hurry. Some of you's already turned blue. Now, may I say that his character was marvelous. He had no flaw at all in his character. Lord, that's another reason that we ought to exalt him in song. Amen. That we ought to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise and sing unto the Lord with a heart and the voice of a song. Yeah. I'm just reading what I just read to you a few moments ago. Amen. His character. It had not one flaw in it. Now I want you to get a hold of this. That bunch of Jews brought Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate was conversing with the Lord. And you know the story. He talked with the Lord, and he said, are you the Son of God? He said, sayest this of thyself? Or did somebody else tell you that? And Pilate began to wonder because he knew somebody else had told him that. Jesus hadn't said that. That bunch of Jews had told him that. And Pilate walked out in front of them Jews, and here's what it said. He didn't say, "I find no sin in him." He said, "I find no fault in him at all. None." Amen. In other words, what he's saying, "I find no flaws in his character."
Amen.
Amen. There's not a fault. There's not a flaw. I don't find one blemish in this man. He has not, he may have any faults with what he has said. With how he has conducted himself, he was as humble as a lamb in front of Pilate. What more could you ask for?
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
We sat around like knots on logs.
Amen.
Like Jesus is dead and ain't coming out of the grave and he's already got up out of it.
Amen.
Hey, hey, hey.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? He was a man of character. Do you realize he never told a lie?
Amen.
That he never robbed anyone? That he never drank any liquor?
Amen.
That he never thought evil? Get a hold of this now. He never thought evil of any man.
Amen.
Not one evil thought about another man ever entered into his mind. Oh, my, I'm telling you, that makes me want to crawl up under the pew, but I guarantee you that there ain't a living soul in this building tonight at one time or another that somebody's not come to your mind and you've had an evil thought about that man or that woman. You know you have. And I doubt very seriously if there's any outside this building that ain't. Had an evil thought about somebody. Or felt revengeful towards somebody. Somebody said, "Well, the Lord is revengeful." Oh no, I beg to disagree with you. He's vengeful, but not revengeful. He doesn't get revenge. He gets vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, and that is nothing but justice. Revenge means I get you because you got me. He never felt that way. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. They spit in his face. They plucked a hair from his face. They smote him on the head. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They beat him with a cat of nine tails until his entrails hung out. Laid a cross on him and made him carry all the way to Calvary. But he never one time opened his mouth. And when he got up there, to their amazement, he just laid down on the cross and laid his hand back. They didn't have to take his hand away. He just voluntarily laid it back. Somebody said, "How do you know that, Brother Hall?" Because the Bible said that he laid his life down. No man took it from him. He laid it down of his own will. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up again. Do you know what that means? He had the power to lay it down. You really know what that means? That means that nobody else could force his hand.
Amen.
And nobody or nothing else could keep him there. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it up again.
Amen.
Nobody had enough power to take it from him to lay him down, and nobody had the power to raise him up. He had that power himself.
Amen.
Now, if you can get a hold of that, I have the power to take it up again. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Let me just a minute. Have the power to take it up again. That tells me that he is the only one that has life. In him is life. There was life in none other. In him is life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, come on now. Am I right or not? In him, he's the only person in all of the universe that had life in him. And he has the power to give that life unto as many as will come unto him by God.
Amen.
Oh, bless his precious name. Praise God, I could run my head through a wall tonight. You're looking at one old sot, bless God, that when he got saved. I got in all the way, hallelujah. And I ain't looking to get out either. I ain't looking to stop, draw back, quit, sit down, shut up. I'm planning on going on with God. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Now I gotta move on, boy. I'm telling you, we got busy. And I promised Brother Steve I wouldn't preach over an hour and 5 minutes tonight. Now, his character. What Pilate said. Listen, what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:9. said he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. It almost talks like the wicked said, but because he had no violence, must be referring to the wicked and how violent they are. And I don't want him to say this, but I hate to. But he said with the rich and said he had no deceit in his mouth. He must be referring to people who's got a lot of money. Sometimes they're a little deceitful.
Amen.
I'd say there's a few of them down in Washington right now that's deceiving the people just a little bit. Few of the congressmen are willing to pass a law that said no more Sputniks to the moon. Said they want to balance the budget. Said that'd save them $34 billion right there. And said, stop all congressional raises. Another $84 million. You talking about some politicians getting upset? Amen. Take a little bit of our money away from them. Hallelujah. Amen to God. Wonder what they'll do about health care. They already got health care. They ain't worried about health care. Why they give a flip what happened to you and me about health care? They've already got their stinking health care. They're hell cats with health care. Amen. That's right. Praise God. I don't care what they do. I'm trusting. I made up my... Look here. I want to ask something. Are we Christians? Then what matters what they do? My trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. He it is that delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And bathed me in the blood of the Lamb and birthed me into the family of God. Amen. And said that He'd provide all of my needs for me. Why should I worry about Washington and what them bureaucrats are doing with health care? Somebody said, well, what if you lose your health and die? Homeward bound. Oh, Lord, I'm homeward bound. Amen. Don't threaten me with heaven. Woo! That's what they said old John R. Rice said one time. Said he's sitting at a toilet in a bus station or airport or something. Said a guy stuck a gun up my there and said, I want all your money or I'm going to kill you. And said, Dr. Rice said, don't threaten me with heaven. I know that sounds a little rough, but you know, it's a fact. They can't threaten us. They ought to be able to threaten you and I with heaven. I can't find any place in the Bible where Lazarus ever got beside himself. I'm talking about the one that sat at the gate. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he ever got worried for 1 minute. It doesn't say that Lazarus was laid at the rich man's gate and rubbed his hands and worried every day about death and starving to death. If he did starve, it'd bring glory to God. Billy Kelly said, hey, he said, I wouldn't let the devil believe for 1 minute I'd starve to death. He said, if I knew I was going to starve to death, said I'd eat a box of saltine crackers, drink 5 gallons of water, and swell up and swear that I foundered myself to death. Amen. That's right. Now, listen carefully. I will say his character was marvelous. May I say, thirdly, that his words were marvelous. John 7:46, the Bible says, Those officers came back to the Pharisees and so forth and said, never man spake like this man. His words were marvelous. His words were so marvelous that he astounded the most educated. You remember when the Lord's family, when Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem and the Lord was with them? And they left Jerusalem and after 3 days' journey they realized that He wasn't there and they went back looking for Him. You know where they found Him? They found Him in the temple. And here's what the Bible says about when they found Him in the temple. It said it came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking Him questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and His answer. I'm talking about a 12-year-old boy astounded with His words the most educated. Why could he do that? Because he was God. He was very God. That's what made him holy, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Very God died on the cross for you and I. Amen. They tried to trip him up in his words and couldn't do it. He was the Word of God. Here they're trying to confound Jesus. And he is the Word of God. And they're trying to confound him over words found in the Word of God. How foolish. You're talking about foolish people. Son, I'm sure when they ask him something, he'd just spit out words. There in Luke 4, they said, well, how in the world? Said, where's this man get off his learning? Said, is he not the son of Joseph and Mary? And all of his brothers and sisters are here with us today. They made one mistake. He was the son of Mary. But he wasn't the son of Joseph. He was a son of God. Not a son of God, the son of God. Not a begotten son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. His words were so marvelous. And ladies and gentlemen, I ain't got this in my notes, but can you get a hold of this? His words were so marvelous and so glorious. He put them in a book and said, if you read this book, it'll cause your heart to be filled with enough joy that you'll sing praises unto my name. You'll exalt my name because I am marvelous in everything that I've done, including the book that I've given you. What a book we have, and I'm talking about a King James 1611 Bible. Hallelujah. It is a marvelous book God's given us. That book holds all the keys of life, the facts of life, the truth of life found in that book. Amen and amen. His words astounded the most educated. I want to say, secondly, his words pardoned the most guilty. You remember the little woman that was taken in adultery? Matthew 8, and those men brought her in and said, she's taken in adultery in the very act. Said, now Moses said, he said to stoner, said, what do you say? Jesus just bent down and wrote on the ground. He stood back up. He looked at that crowd and he said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. He bent back down and began writing on the ground again. And when he stood back up, he looked around and they were all gone because they began to leave from the youngest to the eldest. I mean, from the eldest to the youngest. At least the older people had more sense than these young bucks has got. You young girls in here take notice of that. Mommies and daddies may know a little bit more than Junior does. Amen. And the Lord looked at her and said, where are, woman? Where are those thine accusers? Does no man condemn thee? And she said, none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He said that. That's his words. I'm telling you, hey, no wonder his words are marvelous. They're words of pardon. Thank God he has pardoned our sin. You know what it means to be pardoned? I'm telling you, most folks don't have any idea what it means to be pardoned. Can I tell you what it means to be pardoned? Some of you folks that may not know. A man can be pardoned and be as guilty as a hound dog. Man can be guilty and all the governor's got to do is sign a pardon and set him free. Doesn't change his guilt one bit. He's still guilty. Now I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, we are all guilty. We're sinners and we're guilty, and by all rights we ought to die and go to hell because we're guilty. But he said, you're pardoned. Father, forgive them. Hey, guilty but yet free. Guilty but yet pardoned. Aren't you glad? He came by your prison cell and opened up the cell and let you out of that prison. Oh, thanks be unto his wonderful name. Thank God, I'm glad when he went back to heaven with that blood on the mercy seat. I believe when he poured that blood on the mercy seat, he may have took his finger and wrote in that blood, pardoned. Now that's haulology. Forgiven. Under this blood.
Amen.
I don't know whether y'all sins are under the blood or not.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Words to pardon the most guilty. May I say His words gave assurance or assured the most fearful.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and there's fear in your heart, let the Word of God grant you real assurance, folks.
Amen.
I see so many people that it seems like they're just full of fear and turmoil, and because the way the world is turning today. The Bible said in the last days, men's hearts would fail them.
Amen.
Because of fear.
Right.
Now, I believe that to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I believe it to be exact. I don't believe it's an allegory. I believe it's fact. That men's hearts will actually fail them because of fear. Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of folks living in fear. Not just because of that.
Amen.
I wonder how many women tonight. Come on now. I wonder how many women are tonight living in fear because they're married to a drunk. And they're afraid he'll come home at any minute and start slapping around on them. I wonder how many little children now are living in fear. Because they got a daddy that's a sot. And they're afraid at any minute he'll come home drunk and go to beating on them. Somebody said, do you know how that is? Been there, done that, friend, got a t-shirt, know all about it. There's one thing I hate. I despise liquor. I hate booze. They say all they want to say about cigarettes, and I'm not promoting cigarettes, but I hate liquor. Yeah, I've seen what it can do to a home. I've seen what it can do to a little old woman. I've seen what it can do to a bunch of young, toe-headed boys.
Amen.
It's rot gut, and it ruins homes. Amen. Rome told it right. I wonder how many folks are afraid tonight, full of fear. You know, the Bible said in Matthew 14 that there was a disciples were in a ship going across the sea. And they saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. And Jesus, but straightway, he didn't wait a second. Straightway. He didn't waste one second. If there's fear in your life about something tonight, hey, some of you may be afraid of death. Hey, straightway,
amen,
he'll speak. Straightway, he'll give you assurance. Straightway, he'll grant you peace in your heart.
Yes.
And assurance in your soul.
Yes.
And he'll bring you to a full assurance of your faith.
Amen.
Better believe he will.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. Straightway he spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Now can you get that?
Yes.
You didn't get that, did you?
Amen.
He didn't only say, Brother Chuck, don't want you to be afraid no more. He said, instead of being afraid, I want you to go to the other end of the pole. It's like this crowd had bipolar. Here they are over here full of fear. Jesus said, I don't want you over here full of fear. And straightway, he said, be of good cheer. Get over on this side. from fear to cheer. Woo! From fear to cheer. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord and His Word can do for you and I, can take us from fear to cheer, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, that's why we ought to exalt Him in song when we come to the house of God and sing praises unto the Lord. It ought to be mealy mouth, praise God, rear back and sing unto the Lord. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing unto Him in a loud voice. Sing with cornet and trumpet. Amen. The harp. Singing. Use that harp in a psalm and get with it. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you ought to have strained musical instruments in the house of God. They better not tell that to David. I think some of them thinks that harp he played was a juice harp. French harp. People ain't got enough sense to realize that there's a strange instrument right there.
Right.
How many's God in it, sis? 168? In one instrument? Strings. Hallelujah.
Right.
What's wrong with having strings in the house of God?
Amen.
Can I read this to you? Sing unto the Lord, verse number 5, with a harp, with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets, and the sound of the cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. I remember the first time there was a tabernacle, and they'd done this. They took up an offering. Doc Sotler said, now we're going to have some of these young boys, I forget who it was, they're going to come and said they're going to play tonight for the offering as we take up the offering. And I thought, my goodness, what in the world are they going? They walked there, and they all had them big long horns.
Amen.
And I thought, boy, I bet this is going to be something. And they started playing Amazing Grace on them. Son, I said, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. I'm telling you, it got down into my heart, boy. Them, I know what, trumpets, I don't know what, but they was playing Amazing Grace. It's one of the sweetest things I've heard in all my life. Amen to God, it was good. I'm telling you, we ought to praise Him and exalt Him. I'll get to this in a minute and say it again. On anything that is will glorify Him that God brings to our disposal, is that the right word? He brings to us, and He gives to us. It's within our reach. That's why I let them little boys get up there and play on them guitars and play that fiddle and play that mandolin or whatever it is, banjo. Well, I don't know what it is. Then I wouldn't forbid anybody. That's right.
Amen.
Now, there's some things I couldn't put up with. I went over here to a Brush Arbor meeting one night. And Brother Ricky Cochran was preaching over there years ago. I mean years ago. They said, we're going to bring up so-and-so family now and let them sing. That little boy about that tall, and he had a little plastic guitar. Then he got that guitar up there, and his family got to playing and singing. Then he got to going. I said, whoa now. Son, I mean, he was throwing that leg out there and twisting that leg. I said, oh, mercy. He was beating on that. There wasn't nothing coming out of it. I'm glad they wasn't. Praise God. I wish you'd have seen Ricky Cotter. You know how Ricky, Brother Hall? I didn't know he was going to do that. I said, well, that's all right. You couldn't help it. What about in John's Gospel, John 20, verse 9, when the apostles and the disciples were in the upper room the day of the resurrection of our Lord? The Bible said, then on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you, his word brought peace unto you. You understand why I gouge you so much about reading that Bible?
Amen. Amen.
That Bible will do something for you I can't do, or no other preacher. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. I'm just a mouthpiece. I make mistakes. This don't.
Amen.
I've got flaws in my character. This don't.
Amen.
I can't even make a joyful noise. This can.
Amen.
Praise God, you ain't the best singer in the world yourself, son. I won't say He's marvelous. His gospel was marvelous. What can we say about the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord? How marvelous was the gospel? When Christ in Gethsemane took our sins upon Him, went into Pilate's hall and was judged for our sins, laid a cross upon His shoulders and carried it all the way to Calvary and died with your sins and my sins upon Him. That sin was so dark that from the sixth to the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And that darkness separated between God and the Son. Jesus looked up in the heaven and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? when our sins was loaded on Him and judged for our sins. That darkness, that canopy of darkness and sin over His head, that dark cloud over His head. They come by and offered Him vinegar and myrrh, and He wouldn't have it.
Amen.
He bowed His head and said, "It is finished!"
Amen.
How marvelous. "It is finished!"
Yes.
They took Him to the grave and put Him in a borrowed tomb. Death, and the devil thought they had Him. But I'm telling you, how marvelous. 3 days later, when the Marys came to that tomb looking for Jesus, they didn't find Him there. 2 men in white apparel said, "Hey, I know who you're looking for." And they said, "He's not here." Said, "Guess what? Get this now. I'm talking about the Word of God. He is risen." What? "As He said." And then what about that ascension? What about that ascension? Hallelujah, when them men in white apparel. Those men came out and Jesus began to, earth began to lose gravitation and began to be lifted up. Those 2 men in white apparel stood there and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven?"
Amen.
This same Jesus. Boy, that bunch of liberals can get a hold of that. They say they didn't believe His body got out of the grave, just His spirit. This same Jesus.
Amen.
From the womb to glory. This same Jesus.
Amen.
That you've seen taken up from you.
Yep.
Shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. My answer to you tonight is, are you ready?
Come on.
I sang out to my brother one night, and he ain't got right with God yet, but I'm praying for him.
Yep.
At my younger brother's funeral, I said, "Well," I said, "it's an old Negro spiritual." "Well, you better be ready. Oh, you better be ready. Yes, you better be ready for the Lord."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I'm glad that I'm ready." Woo! 1970, I'm glad that I'm ready. I'm glad that I'm ready to meet the Lord. There's all my brothers sitting out there looking at me, old hard shells. And I said, "Well, I think old Bill was ready." And they looked at me, I said, "Yeah, I think old Bill was ready. I think old Bill was ready to meet the Lord." My youngest brother from Florida that caught that cancer, before he ever caught cancer, he called my sister on the phone, and he talked kind of funny. He said, "Sis, that I wish he hadn't sung that stupid song up there the other day." Said, "I was doing all right till I got home," and said, "I went to bed," and said, "I'd lay there in the bed," and said, "all I could hear was Gary saying, 'Well, you better be ready. Oh, you better be ready.'" And he said, "Sis, how do you get ready?" She couldn't tell him. She ain't ready herself.
Amen, preacher.
If you ever call me and ask me how to get ready, I'm going to tell him. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Wouldn't it be God like to see old Dan get in? When you like to see some of your loved ones get in. Amen. Being born again. Not by corruptible, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. I'm telling you, He's done marvelous things. We ought to exalt Him in song tonight. Sing unto the Lord and sing a new song unto the Lord. I got to hurry. The gospel. The gospel. Amen. By His own power hath He gotten salvation for us. The Bible said in verse number 1, His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Listen carefully. Now, I don't have much on these. I'll be done. The expression of our exaltation. It says, make a joyful noise. I didn't write down the verse on that one. God help me. That'd be verse 4. Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
unto the Lord. Our expression of our exaltation, it ought to be an expression of joy.
Amen.
It ought to be an expression of joy. Hey, and salvation is the source of our joy and should therefore be celebrated in glad songs.
Amen.
I want you to hear what I said. Salvation is the only thing that should give us joy.
Amen.
It's the only thing that can give joy.
That's right.
May I say to you that things in this world cannot give joy?
Amen.
A lot of people think that things and money and possessions and power can bring them joy and happiness. It can't. Look at all these athletes and all these movie stars. I saw a thing in the paper the other day where Burt Reynolds is broke of the millions he's made, and he's broke. If his money made him happy, I wonder where his happiness is at now. You don't ever have to worry about your redemption going broke. Hallelujah. Woo! It's paid for! Hallelujah! It's paid for. It wasn't paid for on no credit card either. It wasn't paid for. Jot them down, store. I'll catch you next week if I can. Amen. Now, let our expression, hey, salvation ought to be a source of our joy, and it should be. Celebrated in glad song. Now you get a hold of this. I just jotted this down. I won't preach it. But when Moses crossed the Red Sea, guess what he done? He sang.
Amen.
He sang a song. When David brought up the Ark of the Covenant, guess what David done? He sang.
Amen.
When the disciples had finished the Lord's Supper, guess what they done? They sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. Now I want you to get a hold of that. They sang a hymn.
Amen.
I'm not knocking special music. I want you, and I didn't see this. I don't have a television. Brother Jerome's mother told me I had one in the closet. She said, Jerome, you know he's got a television over in his closet. I told him, tell her to come over and look. She can find one in my closet. I'd give her my house. I'm going to tell you now, my brother, oldest brother, 75 years old up in Indiana, he's got one.
Amen.
He said, now, Gary, I want to tell you something. I called him Saturday night. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, really, it's kind of funny in a way. But he said, I was watching this thing the other night, this religious thing on television. He said they had this man interviewing this man on there. And said this man told the moderator of the show, he said, for several years, said, I backslid from the Baptist faith. Or said, I went out from the Baptist faith. Now, the guy never said whether he backslid or whether he just went to some kind of a charismatic church or something like that. But he said, I left the Baptist faith. But he said, I've come back to the Baptist. He said, I was saved a Baptist. I've come back to the Baptist. He said, and you know what brought me back? He said, believe it or not, it was the old hymns them Baptists is the same. He said, I just realized I couldn't tolerate this modern music, and it was them old hymns. Now, I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's still the old hymns that'll get the job done. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And when we sing that new song, we're going to realize it's still the old song that we've been singing all along.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, victory in Jesus, amazing grace. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful.
Amen.
A lot of good hymns, boy. Amen. This rap-matazz hip-hop junk, don't get it with me. Some of you young people in here is into it too.
Amen.
You're in it! Now I'm telling you, it's going to drag you down a road away from God. I'll tell you why. Because God ain't in it. You can't live somewhere God's not have God.
Amen.
I want to run that by you again. You cannot live somewhere God is not and have God. It's an impossibility. Impossibility. The saints sang a new song after the rapture. In chapter 5 of Revelation, they sang a new song. And then the 144,000 Jews in Revelation 14:2, they sang in their song. Sounds to me like God's people are singing people, not folks. And they singing. Why are they singing? Because of the marvelous works that He's done. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. That's exactly right. Let our expression be hearty. He said in verse number 9, Speak a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. A loud noise? Not like them Pharisees in the trial of the Sanhedrin. Tell your disciples to hold their peace. We want a quiet service around here today. Shh. Shh. Be real quiet. Where God now? I've got news for you. This earth is the quietest place you'll ever live on. Hell is not going to be quiet. There's going to be screams and moans and groans that'll never let you rest, friend, forever and ever and ever. You'll be in turmoil. There'll be no rest in hell, and there'll be no quietness in hell. Can you imagine being able to hear sounds of others screaming and groaning just like you, but no rest and not able to see them? But on the other hand, when we get to heaven, I don't believe there's going to be too many quiet moments up there, Brother Andrew. When we all gather around the throne, hallelujah to God, the 420 elders, which represent the Jews in the Old Testament, saints in the New Testament, 12 disciples, 12 tribes. Amen. Come on in the house. When we throw our crowns down at Jesus' feet, they all fell down and began to worship. And a few verses later in chapter 5, after they had seen the Lamb, that it was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible said they sang a new song. They saw Jesus as a lamb, hey, slain before the foundation of the world. Now that's having pretty good eyesight. When you can go way back and see before the foundation of the world, and see Jesus as a lamb slain back then. And He ain't even come into the world yet. And you can see Him already slain. That's pretty good eyesight, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. That's our marvelous God. This is a hymn of exaltation. Let us exalt Him. Let us sing a new song. Let us sing praises unto our God. Let us rejoice. Be glad in Him. There's nothing wrong with it. It's right. I'm telling you it's right. Amen. Our expression ought not only be hearty, but it ought to be spiritual. Verse 4 and 5 said, sing praises unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and the voice of the psalm. Sing what? Sing unto the Lord. Didn't say sing unto Jerome. Sing unto your neighbor. Sing unto the Lord. That's right. And then our expression. Our song is sacred as well as triumphant. It's reverent as well as loud. Amen. Somebody said, how can you be loud without being reverent? I'm telling you what. I've heard us singing here in 96 in that revival and get pretty loud and singing. And it was just as reverent as anything I'd ever been around. Amen. Can y'all say amen to that? Seemed like we was raising the roof on this little old short building. Yes. And there's times now we can sing songs like It Is Well With My Soul. Some of them old hymns, boy, and I tell you, my heart gets to stirring within me.
Amen.
How can I hold back a song? I can't hardly hold back a shout and a voice of praise.
Yes.
When I examine my life and realize the filthy dog that I was.
Right.
And yet Jesus loved me in all my sin. Even me! Even me in all my sin, He loved me.
Amen.
Getting ready to close right here. Our expression ought to be all-inclusive. That is, with the harp and the voice of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of the cornet.
Amen.
Every one of these instruments was used either to announce the Jubilee. When they started sounding those trumpets at the worship services, you know what they were saying? It's Jubilee time, boys.
Amen.
It's not cramp meeting we're coming to. It's camp meeting. It's Jubilee time. It was used to give notice to approaching enemy in war. so they would know when war was. And it was used to gather all the people together.
Amen.
The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump. God.
Amen.
Chapter 4, John said, "And I heard a loud voice as the sound of a trumpet." It seemed like it was saying, "John, come up hither!"
Yes.
And one of these days that trumpet's going to sound, folks.
Amen.
And all that are in the grave and us that are alive and remain are going to hear that voice say, "Come up hither!"
Amen.
You're talking about saying we'll get to business then.
Amen.
Then the extent of our exaltation. The whole song. As we look at the whole psalm, it ought to awaken our mind to praise.
Amen.
I mean, take time to read it. I didn't even touch on it tonight. Take time to read it. That it ought to awaken our mind to praise.
Yes, sir.
It ought to rouse our minds to thankfulness.
Amen.
How thankful we ought to be to the Lord.
Right.
Reading it should make us happy people.
Amen.
Reading it should lift us above the world. And reading it should give us a loftier view of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God's not way down here. Way up there. Isaiah didn't say I saw Him down low. I can't help but to tell you this. I heard an old black preacher preaching on that throne in Isaiah 6 one time. He said, "Isaiah! Say, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Said, I'd show him glad that he came down low where I was at. That high wasn't ashamed to go low. And high wasn't ashamed to take low back on high." Amen. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. He's high, but he came low and humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Why? That we might be saved. If that don't make you happy, your tickle bone broke. You ought to go home tonight and just lay down and just think on it. Unless you're like me and fall asleep in the green chair. I told Miss Hall last night, I said, "Honey, I said, I'm going to read a little while." Well, I fell off to sleep first. I don't know how long I slept. But I woke up. Hollering, "Oh, oh, Lord, oh, hell, oh." Miss Hallmer said, What's the matter? And I had a Charlie horse in my left foot. And I'm telling her, I said, "Oh, it's killing me. Oh," and it was, boy. And I said, "Oh." I tried to get out of the chair. And I said, "Oh, oh." Boy, hey, I had an alarm clock went off, friend. She said, "You know, it's just about time to go to bed anyway." I said, "Oh, I'm going to read a little bit." I said, "I've been sleeping a while." I said, I can study a little bit and open my Bible and my book back up. She said it wasn't 3 minutes she walked in there. So about 11 o'clock or so, I woke up and I said, "Well, I think I'll go to bed." Thank God for rest. Somebody said, "You oughtn't to sleep that way." Bob said, "He giveth His beloved sleep."
Amen.
He'll give you good sound sleep. Jesus will. A hymn of exaltation.
Amen.
Are we going to be creatures of exaltation? Or are we going to continue on with an unthankful heart and spirit
Amen.
To work what our Lord has done for us? Let's stand together.